is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. I know you believe it. Give God your best Sunday morning shout. Amen. You guys are awesome. I'm so glad you're here today. Open your Bible to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Don't you love the Word of God? We're building our life on the Word of God, right? And when storms come, you'll stand, right? Amen. So I want you to look at John's Gospel chapter 14. And I want to set this up if you're visiting today. I've been talking all month about come home for Christmas. But I'm not talking about your natural home, because some of us have a broken home. Kim prayed for hurting homes. Some of us have a dysfunctional home. Some of us have a home where there's strife and division, contention, racism, distraction, arguing, fussing, fighting. Some of us, you know, we don't want to go home for Christmas. But you know what? I'm not talking about our natural homes. And we want to pray for those people who have hurting homes. You already did this morning. Amen. But I'm talking about your spiritual home. I'm talking about something much higher, much greater than a natural home. It's your spiritual home. Do you have a spiritual home to come home to? You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about your relationship with God. God created you so he could live in you. God created you so he could be at home in you and you at home in him. Now, today, I want to help you. I want to help you with whatever you're worried about. The villain, what we're going to attack in our story, in our narrative today, is worry and anxiety. In the Bible, worry and anxiety are the same words. You can go on the internet and there's actually a meter for every nation on the planet on their scale of anxiety and worry in that nation. And you go to the internet and you check out that meter for anxiety, and the United States of America is the nation with the most, the highest on the meter of anxiety and worry. According to the internet, America has more worried people, anxious people, fearful people, stressed out people than any other nation on the planet. So whatever you're worrying about today, whatever you're anxious about, is it your kids? Is it who they'll marry? Is it their education? Is it their future? Is it your future? Is your retirement? Is your health? Is it your career? Is it your finances? Is it the house payment? We all have opportunity to worry about something. Can I have a yes in the house? We all have the opportunity to be anxious, to be stressed out, fearful, worry, dreading something. All of us have to deal with that. I want to help you with that today. I want to help solve that problem so that you'll worry less and trust God more. Sound good? Worry less and trust God more. I have the solution for stress today. I have medicine. I have a pill. It's called the gospel. I have medicine, God's medicine. I have a pill, the gospel, that can help you. I have the solution for stress, and I want to share it with you today. Is that all right? So let's go to John chapter 14, verse 23. John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said, if a person really loves me, and I believe all of us in this room, we really love God, or we wouldn't be here today. We really love God. And then he says, if he'll keep my word, obey my word. So notice the premise for the promise is we have to love God, and we do, right, church? And then number two, we have to obey his word. Not just hear it, but do it. Now, let me go a side note here. When you and I are worrying, when you and I are in anxiety, when we have a panic attack and we wake up at 2:30 in the morning when everyone else is sleeping and we can't go back to sleep, did you know we are out of God's will at that moment? Did you know that when you're worrying and I'm worrying, we're out of the will of God? When we're anxious and we're dreading and we're fretting and we're fearful, did you know we are not obeying God's word? Oh, we want to, but life's hard, isn't it? And life comes to all of us, and we all have challenges and problems and difficulties and agendas and expectations on our life, whether you're a teenager or you're in your twilight years. We all deal with worry and anxiety. Well, we're going to find out in just a moment the antidote for worry and anxiety. And I'll tell you what it is, the peace of God. The peace of God is the cure for worry and anxiety. Coming home for Christmas isn't all about celebrating Jesus. I'm waiting for a good amen there. Isn't it all about celebrating Jesus? Yeah, isn't he the Prince of Peace? Isn't he the mighty God, Counselor, Prince of Peace? Yes, he is. So come home for Christmas is come to Christ. Make sure you've allowed him to come into your life and he's at home in you and you are at home in him. Because you can't have the peace of God until you have peace with God. So notice he says, ye love God, and we do. And then he says, you got to obey the word. So every time you and I are worrying about our grades, our grants, our the campus, the college, the mate, our future, our job, our marriage, our career, every time we're anxious and worrying about it, we are out of God's will. Because God's will is God's word. And God's word says, don't you carry the burden, give God the burden. God's word says, cast all your care, worry, anxiety, and burdens on him because he loves you. Are you in today? So look what he says. Jesus said, if a person really loves me and they obey my teaching, then what's going to happen? My Father will love them back. And we, do y'all see we there? That's plural. That's not singular. Well, he's referring, Jesus is talking, but he says, we will come into you and make our home, come home, make our home in you. Notice we are. That's plural. What is that? That's a reference to the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? If you get a revelation of this, then you become unstoppable. If you get a revelation of this, nothing can trip you up this coming week. Because you'll pull out the scripture, the sword of the Spirit, when you're faced with a challenge this week, and you'll look it square in the eyes and you'll say, greater is them that are in me than them that are in the world. If we really get a hold of this, this is more than Sunday school. This is more than catechism. This is more than classes. This is more than a teaching. It's got to become a reality. It's got to become a revelation. You got to realize that you, if you're a Christian, God dwells in you. God lives in you. The Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You are a majority. You are unstoppable. You have a peace that's unshakable. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a good praise. Amen. We will come into you and we'll make our, that's where I got the title for the series. We will make our home. We will make our home. We will make our home, what is that? Abode, special dwelling place in them. So wherever you go, God goes. Whatever you watch, God watches. Whoever you hang with, God hang with. Whatever you read, God reads. Really, Pastor? Does he go to some of the places that I've been? Well, he may be uncomfortable there, and it's called grieving the Holy Spirit. And you know you've grieved the Godhead on the inside of you as a Christian when you lost your joy and you lost your peace. But the good news is we can get it back. Amen. We can get it back. So now we have peace with God. reconciliation, got born again, became a Christian, gave God our life, gave him our heart. He comes in, the Godhead, makes himself at home in us. We are at home in him. We dwell together. We live, move, have our being. Now we tap into the peace of God. Look at verse 27. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. My own peace. Now, it's a supernatural peace. It's an unstoppable peace. Peace I leave with you. And look what he said, family, my own peace. This is the peace that Jesus had when he was on the earth for 33 years. He said, my very own peace I now give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. So now with this peace, take action. Get a revelation of this peace and the power of this peace. And folks, you know, you and I can't even know the will of God without this peace. Let alone quenching worry and anxiety, because the enemy to worry and anxiety is the peace of God. And the enemy to the peace of God is worry and anxiety. You see how I turn that around like a Fred Price? Okay? So it's real important that we understand then that God leads us by peace. So if we don't have the peace of God, we'll never know the will of God, who we marry, the business we start, the house we buy, the car we buy, the church we go to, the city we live in. We'll never know the will of God, the ministry that we have, where we serve. We'll never know the will of God without having the peace of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, let the peace of God rule your heart. Say that with me. Let the peace of God rule your heart. That word rule is our word umpire. Umpire. Go Cardinals! Boy, next year, boy, they're going to do great. Oh, ye of little faith. They're going to do great. And when they're winning next year, and the umpire's behind the plate, he's going to make two calls. The umpire, two calls, safe or out. Well, that's how God leads you and me. By the peace of God, once we have peace with God and come home, we have the peace of God, and that's how God leads us to know God's will for our life, who to marry, what to buy, where to live, where to serve, church to go to, city to live in, is by the peace of God. How do you know? God, should I move to this city? And on the inside of you, you have a check. You don't feel right about it. That's the Holy Spirit saying, out, out. Should I marry that person? And you have, oh, you have the peace of God, joy and confidence. Then the umpire, the Holy Spirit, saying, safe, 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 marry them. You and I can't even know the will of God, the direction of God, the plan of God, without the peace of God. What tries to destroy that peace? Anxiety and worry. They're enemies. They're thieves. They come to steal, kill, and destroy God's very best for you and me. So I'm helping you with that today. Is that all right? So he says here again, he said, so don't let your hearts, if you can do not, then you can do. If you can do not, then you can do. If you can do not, then you can do. Pastor, what are you talking about? We have the power of choice. We can let it happen or stop it. We can let it happen or stop it. We can let it happen or stop it. All of us are under attack, but we need to attack back. All of us are under some kind of attack, but thanks be unto God, the greater one on the inside of you, we can attack back in Jesus' name. And I found out if you attack back to that bully cows down. Come on, somebody. All right? So notice he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated. Okay, so let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. What does the word say? Now, I used this illustration last weekend. I used it Wednesday night, and I used it this weekend because I found out a lot of people don't know what this is. This is what we call a Kindle device. Now, I've had it for over 10 years. If you don't have one, I encourage you to get one. They're not very expensive, and what they do is you download books on them. In this particular one, I have 347 books. Imagine me stacking all 347 books here on the platform, and I got all of them. How convenient in this device right here. It's called a Kindle device. You can download thousands of books You know, I have books about biography, autobiography. I have leadership books. I have books, a Bible, a different commentaries, a different dictionaries. I mean, the list goes on. Novels, poems, books on poems. You got all of that. Why are you saying all that, Pastor? Because I want to let you know what we're talking about is very relevant to what we're all dealing with. Kendall said, from all the thousands and tens of thousands of people who have a Kindle device and all the multiple thousands of books that we have, they said the number one phrase underlined over any book are these two verses right here. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Think about that now, church. Over any paragraph, phrase, one-liner, quote, this is underlined more than any other phrase. What does that tell you? The world has a need. They're dealing with worry, anxiety, and they want help. Because what does this say? It says, do not fret, fear, or have anxiety about anything. Now, can we all agree, and I know we can, say it with me, God's word is God's will. We all agree on that, right? I submit that to you today, that God's word is God's will. So then this is not a suggestion. This is God's word, so it's God's will. So when I'm worrying and fretting and anxious about my health, about my kids, who I'll marry, about my future, about my job, about my neighborhood, about my house payment, if I'm worrying and fretting and in fear, anxiety, I am out of God's will. Can we all agree on that, church? Pastor, I wish you would get a life. You're a preacher, you're a clergy, and you clerge. You're in your office. If you worked where I work, if you live where I live, if you were in the real world, come on, Pastor, everybody worries. Everybody's anxious. Everybody's upset. Everybody does it. Pastor, if you get in the real world, come on, just wake up. No, this is the word of God, so it's the will of God. Amen. So you and I, we want to be in the will of God so we can have the favor of God on our life. But the good news is this. Old Testament Bible is written in Hebrew. New Testament Bible is written in Greek. The Greek language has different tenses, and the tense for do not worry is present continuous tense. What does that mean? That means that worry and anxiety comes to all of us, but we don't have to live with it constantly. That it's going to come and knock on our door to rob us of our peace, to be out of God's will, to make the wrong choices, to lose out on our destiny. But you and I don't have to let that happen. We don't have to let it dominate us. We are to dominate it. Because the enemy to anxiety and worry is the peace of God. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord of Lords praise today. Amen. So what I want to leave you with today, I gave you the problem, I gave you the diagnosis, and now I want to give you a prescription. Dr. Blunt, I do have my doctorate, by the way, from Lindenwood, okay? Dr. Blunt, I have an honorary doctorate for humanitarian affairs in our community. Amen. So I want to give you a prescription today. Go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. I'm going to give you seven things to walk away with that will help you worry less and trust God more. Is that cool? I sure do love you, by the way. I hope that's cool with y'all. So let's look at it. Matthew 11, verse 28. This is a red letter. That means Jesus is talking, right? What's the first word? Come. Come. Jesus says, come home. Come home. Don't you carry the burden? Don't you carry the guilt and the shame and the regret? Don't you carry the condemnation? Don't you live with anxiety and worry and fear? He said, cast that burden on me. Come home for Christmas. So he says, come home, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and what will he do? I will give you rest. If we'll just come to him, and then what? Leave it with him. If your car or your truck broke down, AAA took it to the garage, they told you what was wrong with it, then they're going to tell you, if you want us to fix it, you got to leave it with us. If we want God to fix it, our marriage, our health, our children, our job, conflict, if we want God to fix it, then we got to leave it with him. Our problem is we take it to him and then we take it back. Come on, somebody. And I don't want it in my hands because I'll mess it up. It's bigger than me. I can't control it. Come on, somebody. It's bigger than us. We can't control it. We need help. God sent us help. He sent us his son who wants to be at home in you and you be at home in him. So he says, come to him. I'll give you rest. Think about it. You have rest in a restless world. Boy, wouldn't that be a testimony? Rest in a restless world. Aren't you worried? Nope. Aren't you fearful? No. Aren't you anxious? I mean, what about North Korea and all this stuff's going on? What about this and what about that? And what about the Republicans and the Democrats? And what about these people? What about, aren't you worried? No. He's got the whole world. Come to me and I'll give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Now that's revelation. You know, they tell us that when they put two oxen and a yoke on top of them, they had to get under. They had to get under. They had to submit. They had to surrender. They had to humble themselves to get under the yoke. But the oxen weren't the same size. They'd always put a larger, more elder oxen with a younger oxen because the larger elder oxen would actually carry the yoke. And the younger oxen, the yoke actually didn't even touch. It was about an inch off, actually. So they weren't carrying the load. Who's the heavier one, the elder one in our situation? Jesus Christ. He's the bigger oxen. And so notice, number two, you're not going to have to surrender. We're going to say, God, it's out of control. I can't control it. I'm a control freak, but God, I can't control it. God, it's bigger than me. I'm overwhelmed. What do we do? Come to him, come home. And number two, surrender it to him. Cast all your care, your worry, your anxiety on him. And then he said, learn of me. Everybody say, learn of me. Learn of me. What's that mean? You got to know who he is. You got to know who he is. Oh, God, open our eyes today. Open our eyes. God, we want to know who you are today. You know, I love to give. Don't y'all love to give? And not just at Christmas. We're givers year-round, right, church? Because we serve a giving God. We should live intentionally every day to be a blessing to somebody. But, you know, during Christmas, you know, we're thinking about giving. I just love to give. You know, I love to give to Pastor Kim. I love to give to my wonderful wife. I love to give to my kids, Daniel, Tamara, Stephen, Jessica. I love to give to my grandkids. I love to give gifts to them. I can't wait for next Christmas morning on Monday to see. It's more blessed than to receive. I can't wait to see the faces on my grandkids. I just love to give. You know, I love to give to our team, our dream team, the staff, the paid employees here. Every one of them got a bonus from me. Every one of them got days off at Thanksgiving and days off at Christmas paid for. I just love to give to them. You know, I love to give gifts. I love to give to our dream team volunteers at Church on the Rock. Nobody in St. Louis, no church does what we do for the dream team volunteers. This morning, they all got a free breakfast. Not just them, but for their mates and children. We do that every Sunday. The church pays for that. Every Wednesday night, we provide for all of our volunteers and their mate and their kids a Chick-fil-A paid for because they got to get through that traffic to get here to serve in the house of the Lord. Oh, I love to give to our Dream Team volunteers. No church does that in our city. They might give a donut or coffee or sweets, but they don't give full-blown breakfast, full-blown meal. Every week, we love our volunteers. I just love to give to them. And I love, you know I'm going somewhere, don't you? And I love to give to you. Pastor, you haven't given me diddly squat. I love you too. Oh, I tell you what, I'm giving you the greatest gift. And you know what that greatest gift is? To help you know God. Help you know God. and find freedom over worry and anxiety. That's the greatest gift. Yes. You know, I asked my two sons, Daniel and Stephen, growing up, I said, guys, when I'm dead, when I'm gone, my two sons, Daniel and Stephen, you know, someone downstairs, Daniel's been helping out downstairs, the children's ministry. We're restructuring our whole children's ministry. So he's downstairs helping during the services on that. And somebody walked up to him last night and said, aren't you so-and-so pastor's son of another church? That's why that little clip you saw me when I come up now, because some people don't even know that I'm the pastor at Church on the Rock. So help people know, praise the Lord. But both my sons, Daniel and Stephen, growing up, I said, guys, when I'm dead, should the Lord tarry, and I'm dead and I'm gone, how will you remember me? How will you remember me? They said, Dad, we won't remember you for decades in our city, building a church, a strong church, a multicultural, multigenerational, building a complex. This is the largest sanctuary of a non-denominational church in the city. We really are the showcase for a diverse church in the city. You know, all the things. And they said, Dad, we won't remember you for that. We won't remember you for that. We won't remember you for the TV program and the books. This is actually what they said. I'm just repeating. The books that you wrote, the sermons that you preached. Dad, sorry. We probably won't remember any of that. But here's what they told me. You can ask them. They said, Dad, we'll remember you for your relationship with God. Said, Dad, we'll remember you as we grew up. We heard you praying in tongues in the shower. As we grew up, little boys, we heard you pray walking around the house, in the basement, walking around with your Bible, praying. Dad, we'll remember you for your relationship you had with God. So family, and you are my family, the best thing I can give you today is how to know God, how to find freedom. And that's what we're about to do. But notice he said, learn of me. Learn of me. We got to know who he is as the team comes out. Learn of me. We got to find, he's Jehovah Jireh today. He's Jehovah Nisi. He's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. He's Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our victory. He's Jehovah Tiskenu, the Lord our righteousness. We got to know who he is today. And then we got to know what he said today. He said, take and learn of me who I am and learn my rhythms and learn my methods. So not only do we need to know who he is, family, if we're going to overcome worry and anxiety, we got to know what he said. Because we got to find out what he said in the Bible and then we say it. Yeah. So let me give them to you. There's seven of them for lack of time. They're going to list them here for us. And if you have a smartphone, this is really cool. You can just take a picture of your smartphone with this and bam, you got all seven of them right there. So let's look at it. Number one, come home. Come to Christ. Bring our burdens. Number two, surrender your worries and anxieties. Number three, very practical every day, just to get to know God a little bit better. Learn who he is. Number four, walk in his ways. Find out. Get in the Bible. Find out what he said. Number five, then we'll trust him more. I've been walking with God for 50 years. And I know this, God doesn't do anything till I trust him. So I'm not going to try to do what only he can do. I'm going to work on trusting him more. I'm not going to try to figure him out and do what only God can do. I'm going to work on my trusting him more. Trust his faith. So if we trust him more, he can do more. So if we worry less, trust him more, he'll do more in 2018 for you. So he said, trust him. And then number six, now he can do what he promised to do and give you blessed quietness. And then what happens? Transformation, restoration. Used to be known as an anxious person, a worried person, uptight, living on the edge, chip on my shoulder. And now you walk around confident, with courage, direction, quiet confidence. Give the Lord a big praise, would you?